Now the book of book of Ezekiel chapter 1. Actually, before we come to Ezekiel 1, if you just turn to 2 Chronicles 36, it'll just give us some background to the few verses in Ezekiel that we want to look at. 2 Chronicles and the chapter 36. We'll just read 10 verses, first 10 verses of that, and then we'll just read the first 3 verses of the book of Ezekiel. 2 Chronicles 36. Then the people of the land took Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah, and made him king in his father's stead in Jerusalem. Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. And the king of Egypt put him down at Jerusalem and condemned the land in 100 talents of silver and 1 talent of gold. And the king of Egypt made Eliakim his brother king over Judah and Jerusalem, and turned his name to Jehoiakim. Necho took Jehoahaz his brother and carried him to Egypt. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. Against him came up Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and bound him in fetters to carry him to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar also carried of the vessels of the house of the Lord to Babylon, and put them in his temple at Babylon. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim, and his abominations which he did, and that which was found in him, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah, and Jehoiachin, his son, reigned in his stead. Jehoiachin was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 3 months and 10 days in Jerusalem, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And when the year was expired, King Nebuchadnezzar sent and brought him to Babylon with the goodly vessels of the house of the Lord, and made Zedekiah his brother king over Judah and Jerusalem. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to that passage. Now turn over to Ezekiel 1 and just the first 3 verses. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Kabar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. In the 5th day of the month, which was the 5th year of King Jehoiachin's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Kabar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to this reading from his word. Now I want to look at these first 3 verses. I want to take these 3 verses that we have at the beginning of this book of Ezekiel. I want to take these verses from my text, and my subject is preparation for service. Preparation for service. The verses before us are written with reference to Ezekiel. Ezekiel the priest shall be commissioned by God for service as a prophet. In chapter 2 we read of the Lord speaking to Ezekiel, of him commissioning Ezekiel for the work, for his work as a prophet. Chapter 2 verses 1 through to 5. And he said unto me, that is the Lord speaking to Ezekiel, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impudent children, and stiff-hearted, I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. Well, such is the account of Ezekiel as he is commissioned for service as a prophet. Now our text, Ezekiel 1 verses 1 through 3, in our text an account of the steps that the Lord took to make Ezekiel the priest a prophet of God and an effective and faithful servant of God, those steps are recorded. In particular, reference is made to how the heavens were opened and Ezekiel saw the visions of God. For a time the veil was removed and the divine glory was manifested to the prospective prophet. Moreover, we learn that the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest. Not only did he see the glory of God, but he also heard the word of God and took it to heart. Finally, a witness to the glory of God, a hearer of the word of God, Ezekiel was also privileged to know much of the power of God, because verse 3 tells us that the hand of the Lord was upon him. So I think the argument can be made that these things made Ezekiel a true prophet of God. The sight of the glory of God, the hearing of the word of God, and the experience of the power of God, these things were crucial for him and for his exercise of the prophetic office. And more generally, I think for the servant of today, the sight of the glory of God, the hearing of the word of God, and the experience of the power of God are crucial to effective service for the Lord. Well, let's take these three things in order. Let us consider, first of all, the sight of the glory of God. We read in verse 1, Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Kabar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. He tells us that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. The heavens which are ordinarily shut to human eyes are opened for Ezekiel. He is privileged to behold the glorious things that are above. When God opens the heavens, he unveils the glory that is normally hidden from view. There is for Ezekiel a sight of the glory of God. When God opened the heavens at the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, we learn that on that occasion, the glory of God was on display. Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. At that baptism of our Lord, the heavens were opened, and the glory of the triune God was on display. In Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1, the Apostle John sees a door opened in heaven, The heavens are opened unto him. And what does he see? He sees glorious things. He sees manifestations of divine glory. The throne set in heaven. The one who sat on the throne. His appearance like a jasper and a sardine stone. The rainbow round about the throne. Lightnings and thunders and voices proceeding out of the throne. And the one upon the throne receiving the adoration and worship of heaven. When the heavens are opened unto him, John is given a sight of the glory of God. Now so is Ezekiel. So is Ezekiel. The man who is on the threshold of the beginning of his public career as a prophet, an eminent servant of God, is given a sight of the glory of God. The heavens are opened, and he sees visions of God. He is given a sight of divine glory. And that is very, very clear, of course, in the verses that will follow in chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1 and verses 4 through to 28 is the account of the glorious things that Ezekiel saw. It's an account of the glory that Ezekiel saw. And it concludes with this statement in verse 28. And this really is conclusive in terms of the point that we're making. The heavens being opened, Ezekiel seeing the visions of God. This is a sight of the glory. In verse 28 we read the second sentence in it. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face. He sees the glory. I want you to keep in mind that the Lord is giving his prospective prophet a sight of his glory. He views it necessary if Ezekiel is to prosper. The Lord deems it essential that he should see this. The Lord, I would put it to you, sees that it is important that his servant would entertain the very highest views concerning his God. And so he is given this sight, this marvelous sight of the glory of God. The heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. In point of fact, the Lord gives Ezekiel such a sight of the divine glory that the whole experience is overwhelming. Ezekiel tells us in verse 28, and when I saw it, when he saw the glory of God, when the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the visions of God, when I saw it, he tells us, I fell upon my face. He was overwhelmed by it. He was awestruck. He was completely undone. However great he may have considered the Lord to be prior to the heavens opening, the reality of God was infinitely greater than ever he could imagine. And in truth, it was too much for him, and he falls upon his face. He is overwhelmed with it. The sight of the glory overwhelms him. But you know, it was good for him that he should be so overwhelmed. It was good for him. It was good for him on many levels, but we're talking tonight specifically about service. It was good for him, particularly with reference to his service for God. The higher the view he had of the Lord, the better. It would help him to overcome the fear of man, which could be a stumbling block. The Lord warns him about that in Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 6. The higher the view he would entertain concerning God, the more he was taken up with God, the less he would be concerned about unkind words and unpleasant looks that were pointed in his direction. It was good for him. It was good for him to be reminded of the greatness of the God that he was serving. When you consider the circumstances that Ezekiel finds himself in, and the circumstances are laid out briefly at the opening of this book, you consider the circumstances he's in. It was a bleak time for the Israelites. Ezekiel was among the captives. Chapter 1, verse 1. Israel had been defeated, conquered, led into captivity. 2 Chronicles 36, 1 through 10 gives the record of those sad events. He's a man who is in exile in a foreign land. He is among the captives. He is among a defeated and dispirited people, his own people. And all around him, of course, there is the apparent triumph of heathenism. And this is an established fact, for we're into the fifth year of King Jehoiachin's captivity at this point in the history. Now, how good it would be for him in those circumstances to be taken up with God. How good it would be then for him to be lifted up out of his circumstances and see the glory of God. Be reminded that God is on the throne. Be reminded that the God of glory rules and reigns in heaven, and all his will shall ultimately be done upon the earth. How good and necessary it was for him, as a prospective prophet, that he should see the glory, that he should see beyond the immediate circumstances which would tend to discourage and dispirit, and see above that to the Lord and to his majesty and to his glory. How good and necessary it was for him, and how good and necessary it is for us, how good and necessary it is for the servants of God in our day. The present circumstances in which the servant of Christ must labour in this country are not terribly encouraging. They are not terribly encouraging. Heathenism in its different forms, secularism, atheism, false religion, they are all around us. And some of the Lord's people are in a defeated and dispirited state. In such circumstances, the servant needs to look above, needs to view afresh the greatness of his master, needs to behold again the glory of God which is revealed in Jesus Christ. See again the divine perfections of God all displayed in the person of the Redeemer. Realize again that God is greater than the immediate circumstances. Take to heart that when the Lord Jesus lived and died and rose again, he prevailed in the battle over sin. He is a victor in the battle over the world. He is the conqueror of the devil. And as the ages of time wind their way to their conclusion, the final victory is certainly assured. And it's good for us to receive that by faith. It's good for us to behold that. A high view of God will help you to overcome present difficulties. A high view of God will help to overcome the fear of man. And the more you see, the more you ponder, the more you consider the glories of God revealed in Jesus Christ, the more you consider him, the higher your view of God will be. It's very, very necessary for the servant of God that he keeps before himself his glorious God. Now, secondly, the hearing of the word of God. The heavens were opened to him and he saw visions of God. But also we are told, the word of the Lord, verse 3, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest. The word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest. Came expressly. The word of the Lord came expressly. Literally, the Hebrew text reads, coming, there come the word of the Lord. The expression has the force of emphasis. It has the force of emphasis. The Lord has spoken to him, and Ezekiel knows it. He has spoken to him, and Ezekiel knows it. It is not a case where God has spoken, and Ezekiel doesn't discern that it is the Lord. It is not a situation where the word of the Lord is proclaimed to him, and it goes in one ear, and just as quickly goes out the other, and is forgotten just as soon. No, that is not what is in view. God has spoken to the man, and he knows it. The word of the Lord came expressly to him. The Lord has made sure that Ezekiel would both hear and take to heart what was said to him. The Lord has made sure, he has gone to some lengths to ensure that though his word would be impressed upon the mind and the heart of Ezekiel. And that's clear. Chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. The Lord speaking to Ezekiel. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. These verses make it clear. There was no escaping for Ezekiel the word of God. The Lord makes sure that his word will penetrate the mind and the heart of his servant. It is necessary for the prophet that he hears the word in the sense that he takes the word of God to heart. It makes an impression upon him. It's not just in one ear and out the other. It's not just something that's easily dismissed and quickly forgotten. It makes an impression upon him, a very big impression upon him. And that's necessary for the prophet, and I think it is necessary for servants generally. I think it's necessary for servants generally. In speaking to him, in speaking expressly to him, remember, this man's going to be a prophet. He's going to speak for God. And speaking to him and speaking expressly to him in this fashion, the Lord gives him the message to deliver. He gives him the message that he would have him deliver. Notice chapter 2 and verse 7. Chapter 2 and verse 7. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. There is throughout this the Lord speaking, and Ezekiel then having to go and speak what the Lord has said. Thou shalt speak my words unto them. Chapter 3 and verse 4. And he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. 3 verse 10. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words, that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ears. And go, get thee to them of the captivity, unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Now you see, it's very straightforward, isn't it? God speaks to him, he gives him the word of God, and Ezekiel's to go and communicate that to the people. Chapter 3, verse 17, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. Again, he's receiving it from God, he's communicating it to the people. Verse 27, But when I speak with thee, I will open thy mouth, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. God's going to help him. He's going to speak to him and open his mouth. And thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, he that heareth, let him hear, and he that forbeareth, let him forbear, for they are a rebellious house. In speaking to him, in speaking expressly to him, the Lord is giving him the message that he would have delivered. Again and again, it is emphasized to Ezekiel, he is to speak the word of the Lord to the people. He is to communicate the word of God. The servant is to deliver the message that the Lord has given him. Now, what does that mean for us? Clearly, we're not hearing voices and things of that nature. What does that mean for us? It means explaining carefully, accurately, patiently the word of God, and properly and faithfully applying the truths of the word of God to the conscience of any hearers. That is the task of the servant. That is the task of the servant. God would have us communicate his word. Hear his word, take it to heart, be burdened by it, and speak it forth to the people. And this task, which has never been easy, nonetheless cannot be avoided. It must be done. Christ has commissioned his church to do it. And what I'm saying to you, just as Ezekiel had to hear the word of the Lord, in the sense that God really spoke to him and impressed upon him his word, before he could go out and effectively communicate that word, so also we need to hear the word in that way. The word must make an impact upon us. It must speak to our heart before we are the means God uses to communicate his word to others with boldness and effectiveness. To put it another way, if a preacher, for example, doesn't feel the power of the truth that he's preaching, he's not likely to convince his hearers of the power of that truth and impact them in any great way. If someone who is witnessing, maybe on a personal level, to the unconverted becomes bored by the message of the gospel, is not enthused by it, he or she is not likely to see too many converts. The servant needs to hear the word of God. He needs to take it to heart and then communicate it. And of course, the more a servant in whatever sphere of serving God, whatever sphere he's in, the more they are giving out what God has given to them, the more their words are really God's words, the more they are actually communicating God's truth, the more authority the servant will enjoy. The more authority the servant will enjoy. Ezekiel, because the Lord spoke to him, and he was giving out what God said, could say, thus saith the Lord. He spoke with authority. God gave him authority. And a servant needs this authority. There's no question about this. Whatever sphere it may be, any sort of communication of the word of God, there has to be a degree of authority with that. Gospel must be communicated by servants on behalf of a sovereign God who has a message and a command even for the inhabitants of the world. There must be authority about that gospel communication. It cannot be weak. It cannot be ifs and maybes and all of this sort of thing. It has to be authoritative and clear and plain. And that's what's said in 1 Thessalonians 1:5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. And that is how the communication of it really has to be. It cannot be a speaker or someone that's witnessing who is, to use a phrase, hedging their bets, trying to meet the sinner halfway, trying to take off some of the edges. There has to be this authority, this clarity, and this is something that really comes when you are actually speaking the truth. Truth has about it authority, for the simple fact that it is the truth, and it's God's truth. It is authoritative in and of itself. And for us as servants, and in our work, this authority does come when we do God's work God's way, and His way is for us to speak His word. That was very clear as far as Ezekiel was concerned. So the hearing of the word of God, and then finally, the experience of the power of God. The experience of the power of God. Ezekiel is there by the river of Kabar. He's in the land of the Chaldeans. He's among the captives. What we are told, the hand of the Lord, the hand of the Lord was there upon him. The hand of the Lord was upon his servant Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord is a natural symbol of God's power. And the meaning is, when we learn that the hand of the Lord was there upon Ezekiel, the meaning is that God exercised his power in reference to his servant Ezekiel. Ezekiel experienced the power of God. And if we look at it, the hand of the Lord was upon him to constrain him to service. The hand of the Lord was upon him to constrain him to service. Chapter 3, verse 14. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness, in the heat of my spirit. And the margin there has hot anger, in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. At this point, Ezekiel is not a joyful servant. The Spirit lifted me up and took me away. It does not say, I went joyfully. I went singing the songs of Zion or anything of that nature. It says, I went in bitterness. It was bitter. I went in the heat of my spirit, hot anger. At this point, he is a most reluctant prophet. He does not at all fancy the service that the Lord has in mind upon him. But notice, the hand of the Lord was strong upon him. The Lord constrained him to service. There was no getting out of this. The power of God was exercised in reference to this. And sometimes the power of God does need to be exercised in this way, to constrain us to service. Secondly, the hand of the Lord was upon him to strengthen him for service. Strengthen him for service. God would enable him. God would empower his servant to do all the divine will. Chapter 3, verses 22 through to 24. And the hand of the Lord was there upon me, and he said unto me, Arise, go forth into the plain, and I will there talk with thee. Then I arose and went forth into the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there, as the glory which I saw by the river of Kabar, and I fell on my face. Then the Spirit entered into me, and set me upon my feet, and spake with me, and said unto me, Go shut thyself within thine house. The hand of the Lord is upon him to strengthen him. He is strengthened to do God's will. God's will is being revealed to him, and God's power is being exercised by his Spirit with reference to him, to enable him to do the Lord's will, to set him upon his feet, as it were, that he goes forth, that he does what the Lord would have him to do. And that is necessary for the servant of the Lord, that the Lord enables for the service that must be done. Then the hand of the Lord was upon him to direct him in service. How often when we not go into them, but how often when we look up the references, we see God taking Ezekiel away and putting him down somewhere else. God is exercising his power in directing him. He is directing the servant. He is guiding, he is leading, he is overseeing, and so on. The hand of the Lord was upon him to direct him. And then I suggest to you, the hand of the Lord was upon him to keep him in service. The hand of the Lord was upon him to keep him in service for as long as the Lord wanted him in service, of course. Being a prophet in captivity could not and would not have been easy. And Ezekiel is flesh and blood like the rest of us, but the Lord was strong to keep him in service. So essential for him, so essential for us, that we depend upon the Lord, we depend upon his power, and his grace and his help in all of our serving of him. Ezekiel needed it, and so do we, and may the Lord grant it to us for Jesus' sake. Amen.